This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our culture. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. Good evening and welcome to The Essentials. My name is Hubert Edwards and I am your host tonight, and it's certainly a pleasure to have you here with us. We're going to be having, as usual, one of those interesting discussions, and we ask that you contribute. If you have something to share, then certainly you want to call us. You want to drop us a word on the text line at 422-4796. That's a text line, 422-4796. Or if you're going to call, our other numbers are 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316. Last week, we had a wonderful moment of sharing on some of the issues around the Bahamas and its economic state of affairs as it related to the most recent release, the most recent rating report that came out from S&P. And right after that, for a very short moment into the going into the closing of the show, we talked a little bit about some of the lessons that we could learn from FTX. And these were basically issues to be learned or to be taken from a personal perspective. You know, the fact that we know that FTX was right here with us not too long ago, and then it's gone. It was riding high, and then all of a sudden, it's on the low. The principles behind FTX were at one point in time the saviors of the industry, so to speak, and then all of a sudden they needed to be saved. And so we were simply using those as perspectives, as nuggets to say, hey, you know, maybe we should consider this. How do we live our lives? Understand that, you know, there are moments when you're going to be up and moments when you're going to be down. You need to live with humility. You need to live with grace. You need to live with the understanding that certain times you are going to be the center of attraction, not necessarily because you are you, but because of the values that person see as being valuable and wish to associate with. And when those things are gone, if they disappear suddenly, you can anticipate that the persons will disappear suddenly. They move away slowly. You will find the persons will be moving away slowly from you. So FTX came into the Bahamas and really drew attention because, you know, in any way, shape, or form, even in this moment, FTX became a magnet for attention. And, you know, it had all of the necessary ingredients. You have a young man who is charting a significant course, who captured the minds and hearts of the world. And he was a magnet, and consequently, the Bahamas became a magnet, and there were good moments, and the possibility of the future was great. Persons were looking forward to how do we leverage this currents, how do we leverage the presence of FTX such that we will be able to further expand our ambition of being a digital asset powerhouse, a digital asset center, not just within the Caribbean, but certainly from a global perspective. And so a number of ingredients were in place, and we were moving and talking in a particular direction. Along comes the hurdle, along comes the stumble, along comes the trip up, and then all of a sudden we are now faced with a debacle. We are faced with a circumstance where rather than having conversations about how we are progressing forward in a sprightly manner, we have now have to divert our attention to how do we seek to protect the reputation of the Bahamas. And that reputation, of course, is so, so important. We are, by large, a country which does a significant amount of business in the financial services arena, the private. And consequently, reputation attaching to anything financial, whether it's banking, insurance, or FTX-related cryptocurrency, is going to be absolutely, absolutely top of mind. And it must be at a level which, you know, invokes confidence in those who wish to do business with the country or wish to do business with players within the country. And so we are presented with a challenge at this point in time. In many ways, I believe that while the stakes are high, while the challenges are significant, embedded in this are some opportunities. But those opportunities have to be managed and they have to be sought after in a very strategic way, a very deliberate and intentional way. It's not going to be a circumstance where, you know, there's a storm and after the storm, you know, a big boat or a big ship just wash up on shore. In that ship is a treasure trove. It's not going to be like that. The ship which may be left on shore with valuables as a result of this FTX episode is only going to get there if we manage in that direction. And in many ways, that management is about mitigation. It's about mitigating the potential impacts of what has been said, what is being written about, statements made. It's going to be about mitigating the impact of discussions in important places, discussions which are by their nature international and global. It's really going to be about mitigating the perception which is going to be painted by some persons in influential and important places about what the Bahamas is, what the Bahamas really represent, and what is the absolutely true nature of the Bahamas. Because, true to be told, there are actors out there whose intention, you know, not some of them don't have any long-term intention, it's just being opportunist, but right in this moment, they see an opportunity for fame, maybe even a little bit of a fortune, to really take the Bahamas to task, to drag the Bahamas across the mud, through the mud, and to position it through their words, through their statements, through their writings, as a jurisdiction which is not worthy of serious consideration. And that could be the farthest thing from the truth. The reality is, for the Bahamas, when you look across the landscape, and I'm not making an argument that the Bahamas is perfect. It's certainly not. Just like most other jurisdictions, we have problems. And Just like most other places, there are some things which are problems which we cause ourselves, which could be fixed, and we haven't done so yet. So yeah, there are some challenges. But by and large, from a regulatory perspective, by and large, of having a tradition of running a financial services industry which can meet the light of day, which is certainly highly transparent, which upholds best practice standards, regulatory, financial, risk management, compliance, you name the whole suite of what is required in a developed offshore industry, in a developed financial services industry. And the Bahamas has it. The Bahamas have some of the leading institutions that provide financial services, private banking, private family offices, insurance, the whole works. Leading professionals in finance per se, in legal, in accounting, in insurance, in trust, right across the board, they are there. The point I'm making is that from a competency perspective, the Bahamas punch with the best of them, and in many instances, punches above its weight. We like to use that term, it sometimes sounds cliche, but it's the truth. In many instances, in some instances, it fails to punch above its weight when it could have, in more ways than it actually does. That's my view. We can debate that at another time. But the reality is that out of this circumstance with FTX, persons are going to seek to sully the name of the Bahamas. And it is no secret that there are certain organizations, certain institutions, certain individuals, too. We could find them, individuals. I don't readily know them, but I'm sure some exist. Who make it a habit of either attacking the Bahamas as part of a wider grouping, or in some instances, I believe, singling out the Bahamas for maybe special treatment. Again, sometimes that special treatment is earned because we do some things, maybe not as urgently as we should, maybe not as timely as we should, and we pay the price for that. Some of them, unforced errors, you may call it. But be that as it may, when you take the Bahamas and you compare it pound to pound with any other jurisdiction across the Caribbean, and certainly with most international jurisdiction, the United States, and to look within the United States at certain carved out financial services jurisdiction like Delaware would be. You want to look into Europe in some of the smaller countries. You want to look at Switzerland. You want to look at any of these protectorate from the UK, United Kingdom. The Bahamas can hold its own with any one of them any day, and has done so. And in some instances have, in my mind, gone above and beyond what is necessary and kind of paid a price for it. We have done some things which, in hindsight, has hurt us. We have gone to best standards. Not that you shouldn't be at best standard, but maybe in instances we went too fast, too quickly, and that hurt us. We could go back to some of the responses to the anti-money laundering siege that we were under in the early 2000s. We could go back to instances where we responded to EU initiatives. We could look at any of those, and we would see that in many circumstances, some of the other jurisdictions which were so impacted, they went a little bit slower. They took different Cayman, for example, is always seeming to go the lobbying route, and they make great effort to avoid doing certain things. Now, we always rationalize that by saying They have the big might of the UK behind them as a UK colony or protectorate at this point in time. But be that as it may, the Bahamas sometime, for whatsoever reason, I don't know the nuts and bolts of this, but maybe because we are a little bit more vulnerable, we seem to step forward. But embedded in that stepping forward too, one should read and one should accept that there is a willingness and a determination and an intentional move national-wise, regardless of which party is in power, regardless of which administration, to play by the rules. We resist certain things because they are disadvantageous to us, and that is fine. We seek adjustment, we seek explanation, and that is fine. That's how we should go about our business. But by and large, we are always seeking, as a country, to be amongst the best, and certainly to be at a level where our systems, processes, regimes, regulatory, legal, and otherwise, are amongst the best of the best. An argument which cannot, it can be argued, yeah. You can argue against me, but you're not going to win. You may point out instances where we might not have gone far enough. You may point out instances where we went too fast. You may also be able to point out instances where we are lagging. But the point I'm making here is not, you know, kind of picking it apart and making specific reference to specific things. Saying, taken as a whole, the Bahamas is highly compliant with most of the things which are out there, which are important in protecting the integrity of financial services, of ensuring that financial systems are stable. The Bahamas has done its part. And so when we have an individual or an organization that comes by, in the midst of challenges that we have been faced with, and they start to make disparaging statements, start to, you know, take us back to piracy and gun running or rum running. And they start to take us back to, when persons would what they call them, crashing ships, or they take us back to colonial times, or they take us back to the moments which were early post-colonial times. When an individual starts to do that and seek to shackle that reorganization, rewriting, retelling of history to the prevailing circumstance of FTX, we have a problem. We ought to have a problem with that as individual country, as an individual person, as a resident, as a citizen, no matter where you are in this whole spectrum of persons connected to the Bahamas. You should have a problem. So this is where I stand, personally. I am a transplant, a proud transplant to the Bahamas. I am from Jamaica. I've lived there now for a number of years. I am a transplant. And in that time that I've transplanted myself here, I can look back over those years from the very, very beginning when I came. I can see, and I can speak to, I can point to, I can identify a body of work, or being at least a participant in a body of work designed to enhance the Bahamas and move it forward and to protect the Bahamas. Like in the early days, the early 2000s, I was a part of the Bahamas Association of Compliance Officers, where those persons work like God. The founding president was Cheryl Bazaar, Ambassador Cheryl Bazaar. And we worked very hard make sure that the Bahamas was going to be open. It was a significantly tumultuous time. We remember when the Prime Minister Ingram, at the time when he came back, there was a whole suite of changes across AML legislation and so on and so forth. But the Bahamas was under pressure. And we worked very hard to make sure that the Bahamas was seen as a standard bearer, so much so that the Bahamas emerged and professionals within the Bahamas and professionals within the Bahamas compliance officer, BACO, emerged as standard bearers across the region. Persons like Cheryl Bazard, Tanya McCartney, you had Ms. Cox, you had individuals like, the name is slipping me now, she is the legal person over at Scotiabank. But these are persons who came to stand out, not just in country, but in region. And in some way, shape, or form, I was kind of there in the shadows working. As part of this work, I've done some through my association with the Bahamas Institute of Financial Services, pretty much from the time I came here in the early 2000s. CIAB of arbitrators, we have done some work with those. I've done many presentations across AML, financial services, money laundering, compliance, risk management, corporate governance, so on and so forth. I've also taken the time to, from time to time, write about things. Not always easy, not always comfortable. Sometimes when you hear the comments you get, you know, you kind of get discouraged here or there, you get a knock here, but a lot of times you get good feedback. What's the point I'm making? The point I'm making is that using myself as a proxy, and it's a small proxy, there are many, many persons who have worked long and hard to ensure the status, to ensure the well-being of especially financial services. Because for the most part, that's where most of us are. And then you have other persons who work in the other bigger industry, in tourism and so on. But for now, based on the proximity to FTX, it's about financial service. So there's a whole body of work out there which needs to be protected. Because a lot of sweat and tears have gone into setting the Bahamas and to undergird its reputation and to make sure that in the eyes of the world, the Bahamas can pass muster every single time, if not every single time, most of the times. So when we have a prominent organization writing about the Bahamas, and its sole intention is seemingly to take what I would consider to be dark moments of history and attack the country, we have to step back and start asking ourselves some questions. Yeah? Now, I understand there's a school of thought out there. There's a school of thought, a real school of thought, because I've had interaction with these persons. Persons have actually spoken to me directly. But there's a school of thought which says we shouldn't say anything. We shouldn't speak about these things. And in some regard, I would align with the thinking, depending on the subject matter and the perspective from which it has been spoken, because some things can be misconstrued. And it's not a good thing to have arguments, to have discussion without having the full information. Obviously, none of us do, but for the most part, there's a lot out there in the public space which are really speculations and innuendos and incomplete bits and pieces of information. So to that extent, I can align with things, but when the Bahamas is attacked, as was done by this gentleman, and I think his name is Mim or something to that effect, where, as carried in the in one of the dailies, and they wrote as to how he kind of leaned into the Bahamas, saying, look, you know, everyone should have seen this coming, because the fact that first of all, FTX or the the principal there was telling persons that, look, certain protections were afforded to deposits. That should have been a red flag. But he went on to make the point that the most significant red flag in all of this was when FTX decided to move to the Bahamas. And that therein is bothersome for me and should be bothersome for many persons. If we hearken back to the presentation by the Prime Minister in the House of Assembly, when he stated that, look, we are going to come out of this better. I'm paraphrasing. We're going to come out of this with a strong reputation. We're going to come out of this with value. Now, those are bold statements, but in no way, shape, or form, without trying to be funny or trying to use any type of a pun, they were brave. But I believe that those were considered statements, intentional statements by a leader recognizing the gravity or the potential gravity of the circumstance. I am sure that by now it's gotten a little bit worse. He has a better understanding that it is worse. But those are statements made which are not just, in my mind, marketing statement, or ought not to simply be marketing statement, or not to be statements which are designed to be flowery in the moment, but should be aspirational and also should be setting a strategic benchmark as to exactly what we intend to see happen. Having said that, having made those statements, recognizing the gravity of understand that there's work to be done. There's a lot of work to be done. In preparing for this, I kept thinking that it's around almost Christmas time. And one of the big shouts you usually get in the Bahamas around Christmas time is "Day coming." And anybody who has been in the Bahamas for more than 2 days understand exactly what that refers to. "Day coming." That's John Coonan. But I'm putting this to you without fear of any of being wrong. Put it that way. This first article, and I think it's the kind of the most prominent one. There have been others, but this is the most prominent one of this nature. "Day coming." There's going to be more. Because at the end of the day, there is a feeding frenzy which is going to take place. It's going to heat up. And out of that feeding, who are going to seek to do harm to the Bahamas name. Now, are they being malicious? Do they have ill intent? We don't know. We can only judge by the word that they put out. And I would say, on consideration, when you take the article that we speak of, and we will look a bit at some of the points which were made in a bit, one can't help but to draw the conclusion that it was, in fact, being malicious. At best, intellectually dishonest. At worst, outright, downright malicious. Intended to harm. And so the question is, as I was asked by someone today, pretty much saying, here are two schools of thought. Some persons say we should just leave that be, or some persons say we should deal with it. Well, I'm in the camp which says we must deal with it. And we must deal with it because of this reason. There's a lot out there. There's a lot happening. But I have kind of two categories of happenings. One is the everyday thing you hear, the innuendos, the misinformation. In certain quarters, we would say the idle chat. And then there is those that come from influential sources. Maybe the exact same words. Maybe the same innuendos used. Maybe the same idle chat couched in a different manner. The difference, though, is that the sources are highly influential, as this one is. And because it is that, we simply cannot ignore it. So the question is, if we can't ignore it, what are we going to do? What should we do? Well, that's some of the things I want to talk about today. I want to talk about a little bit of that after we come back from this break. But it's important to understand, and this is just me, myself, and I, when I get into this type of a thinking, that when you're lashed out at maliciously in ways which have the potential to harm you, it's no time to sit back and play cute. And I'm not proposing in any way, shape, or form that those in authority just become, you know, reckless or just react. This is not about reaction. It can be reactionary. But this, I believe, is an indication. It's indicative of what may be coming down the pipe. And as a result of that, we have to be ready. We must be ready. One thing I want to say is, look, for those in the Bahamas who write, those who are journalists, and I mean real journalists, not somebody like myself who may have an article or a piece in the paper now and again, real journalists. But those of you who write, you have, in my mind, an explicit obligation to rebut these things. It's not sufficient. It's create commentary around them. It's not sufficient to let those writings become news items. It's absolutely not. We have to figure, or you have to figure, that as part of being a member of this Bahamas community and having the platforms that you do, you don't just read that and get mad about it, seeing that it's absolutely wrong. You have to read it, and then you have to write to the world and say, this is the true position. And if for no other reason, I would entreat persons to think about it this way. Is an individual who is writing from a very, very influential place. And that influential place is, will attract attention. If you were to rebut unequivocally, line by line almost, all of the issues stated, just out of plain selfishness, you would do the country a favor, because your thing is going to get matched up against his thing, and now you have an opportunity to be looked at from an international perspective. So even if you do it for that reason, it's fine. But at the end of the day, I believe something has to be done, should be done. Because we have to correct this. One of the things as individuals who born, grew up, and live in the Caribbean, we come to appreciate that too often we are defined by those outside of us. Too often we allow those outside of us to define us simply because we refuse to redefine their definition of us to the world. So they want to project the Bahamas as a particular type of, this individual want to project the Bahamas as a particular type of a jurisdiction. Then we have an explicit obligation to change that. We have an explicit obligation to correct that. So when we come back, I'll look at some of the things which were said, and I'll share with you why it is important that we get on top of this. As I said earlier in this whole episode, I did an interview with a reporter. I said, look, let's not be running after everything said, but let's be mindful that there are going to be some things said that should not be left untouched. I said that then, and I'm saying it now, and I think I will say it in the future. It's important that we see the Bahamas in this moment going through this experience. And it's an experience. And it's an important experience. And it's one which must not, should not be downplayed, because the stakes are significantly high. You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. When we come back on the other side, we'll continue our discussion. Don't move.
Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risks, compliance, regulatory challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free to Dance or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. We're having this conversation about the FTX development, and certainly focusing on this article, which was written by Mr. Min, if I get his name right, Stephen Min. And he writes from the platform of Bloomberg. On any given day, on any given moment, everyone, everywhere, someone, someplace in the world is taking a look at the Bloomberg platform. It's well read, it's widely dispersed, and it's influential. In retrospect, Sam Bankman-Fried and his cryptocurrency gang gave investors ample reason to steer clear of FTX. Misleading claims that investments covered by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp too cozy for comfort relations with government, regulators, and other problematic behavior, Mim wrote. And I'm reading from an article which was written by Chester Robarts in today's Guardian. He goes on to quote by saying, but the biggest red flag may have been the first. The crypto exchange's relocation to the Bahamas for centuries. The island nation has been defined by its close ties to dodgy, evil, criminal finance. Now, when someone talks about you like that, in another life, my response to this is, when a guy say these things to you, you don't smile, you can't be happy, you feel the blood rushing to your head. There's no if, but, or suppose. Because the very first lines of this discussion that he's entreating persons to come with him on, this journey that he's taking, kind of says it all. For centuries, the Bahamas is, as he described in his mind. And so he's basically saying, look, you know, FTX came to the Bahamas because of the way they are. Certainly, there must be, by implication, ill intent. That's why the Bahamas would have been chosen. And as a result of that, it's just a natural association. That's the picture he's trying to paint. It's a natural association. And then he goes on to talk about, you know, what happened from God knows when. But the statement lacks balance such that there was no mention of, you know, obviously he's moving from Hong Kong, so we can discount that. But he was in Hong Kong. There's no mention of the fact that, you know, this gentleman is an American. And he has businesses in America, significant amount of companies which have been wrapped up in this bankruptcy filing, as we would have noted by all of the information which are out there publicly, are from the United States. There's no mention of the UK. And we know that the tentacles went there too. There's certainly no mention of Europe, outside continental Europe. And we know that, based on the information which has been publicly available, they reached there. There's no mention of the fact that FTX was able to infiltrate, if you will, the banking system, albeit a small bank, someplace in the United States. But here we are being painted as the bad guys. We have been painted as a jurisdiction which just can't help ourselves to want to attract bad actors. Contrary to the stated intent, the clear intent of the government and of the regulators. If one should go back to the white paper on digital assets, it's clearly outlined there, and regardless of what you may think about that, if you think that there's some areas of weakness, in hindsight, in retrospect, that's always going to be 2020, knowing now what happened, yeah, there's some changes which are needed. There's some rethinking which is definitely going to happen, have to happen. But it's laid out there very clearly. It's laid out there that, look, the Bahamas has no intention of attracting bad actors. We're looking for the best of the best. We're looking for persons who are going to play by the rules, individuals who are going to run the organization and pay attention to what is happening inside the organization, be sufficiently resourced, have the type of expertise and competence in it, which is going to take care of their risk management, which is going to take care of the governance, which is going to take care of the day-to-day operational management commensurate with the risk that the business holds or imposes. Not individual who, by the principal's own admission, didn't pay enough attention to X, didn't pay enough attention to Y, and at the end of the day, sums up the performance in two words: we up. Not that. That's not what the country has set out to do. That's certainly not the intention, and certainly not the extent. This form part and parcel of what was said. And that's why I said earlier, it's indicative of what is likely to come down the pipe, because, you know, they are in the grand scheme of the world. I was going to say geopolitics, but maybe that would be wrong. But in the grand scheme of the world, when things happen, you always find individuals who see opportunities, whether it's simply an opportunity to up your circulation in terms of writing an article at this point in time, or it's an opportunity to make sure that the Bahamas is put at a disadvantage. And so any gains that it had made up to this point in time would be lost, so that we can be good. So we have to be mindful of that. We have to be mindful that this is not simply, you know, persons, you know, parading and trying to, you know, walk across your body because you're down. But there are also individuals who are looking opportunistically at how you being down and keeping you down is going to benefit. That's why I believe that, you know, in the not too short while, someone of great brilliance should write an article which definitively, unequivocally counteract these statements, one after the other. You should be going through it like it's an assignment, it's an exam, and line after line, debunk every single aspect that was made. And it's not hard to do, because you could take them in buckets. You could just take everything pre-independence, for argument's sake, and say, you know, that's a bunch of baloney. That doesn't happen in the Bahamas anymore. This is not what we are. Then you could then take them and point them to the Central Bank of the Bahamas, the Securities Commission. You could point them to our financial services regulatory framework, the various laws and legislation and the regulations which are in place. You could point them to the cadre of professionals which are in place. You could point them to the various organizations and institutions which helps to ensure that the industry is at the top of its game, the compliance officers, the accountants, the individuals who deal with risk. You could take any approach, so many approaches. And in not a long time, debunk these things. But the deeper message here is that, and I said it to someone today, if it comes from the private sector, and by private sector, I would mean, I would think there would be journalists or other persons out there who would take the impetus, the initiative to have a go at it, a bit of an adventure, if you will, at this. If that isn't done, we are all aware that the government has a very potent communications network, and it should use it. I believe it should. Now, would the government necessarily be coming out and say, we the government? Maybe not. It can be done differently. It can be done in creative ways. But as far as I'm concerned, don't really matter if the prime minister has to stand up in parliament, which is a safe space to do so, and chastise the article, then that should be done. Because what? There's a lot at stake. the reputation of the Bahamas has to be first and foremost in this whole thing. There's no if, but, or suppose. So we have to start to look at how we are going to address, redress some of these issues. A couple of the things which was said in this particular piece. Let me find the right place to start. So this individual started out by lamenting us from way, 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 way back when. So after the British abolished slavery, after the British Empire abolished slavery, not after the British Empire stopped its repression, persecution of people, just they nicely abolished slavery in 1830, the local planter elite launched a new enterprise, salvaging ships that ran aground. They lured ships to their doom through decoy lights and bribes paid to captains. Between 1858 and 1864 alone, 313 ships mysteriously ran aground in the Bahamas, their valuable cargoes plundered. During the same period, the Bahamas hosted blockade runners selling guns to the Confederacy. After the Civil War, the island became a natural staging area for smugglers eager to dodge U.S. tariffs. Then during Prohibition, the island became a staging area for bootleggers shipping rum to the United States. So he's painting this nice fancy picture, dark picture, suggesting that this is what the Bahamas is today. The reality is, and I'm going to say this very clearly, the reality is that in most instances, Mr. Mim or whatsoever his name is, was kind of talking about people who were more like him or, you know, of his heritage, rather than those of us who are here at this point in time. He was also pointing to and trying to contrast the reputation, maybe versus the country that he lives in. At the same time, totally ignoring the atrocities which has been meted out to individuals domestically and otherwise by very said country. But of course, this is not an argument of the Bahamas versus the United States or the Bahamas versus any other sovereign. It's a conversation that the Bahamas is going to have with the rest of the world to say, if you misconstrue who we are going to correct you. If you try to position or picture or characterize us as what we are not, we are going to correct you. And the reason we are going to do that is because we recognize, we accept, we understand that to not do so would be to mortgage great value, which is inherent in our reputation as a well-run, responsible, serious, intentional financial services jurisdiction. So yes, this thing happened. And yes, there are some clear surprises. There are some interesting things which have become known. But we as a country cannot allow you to define us by this occurrence. Because by and large, as the story unfolds daily, every single day, we are seeing and we are hearing things which suggest that one of the big questions which ought to be on the lips of rational individuals, especially those who have the power and the might of the pen, is to start to ask some fundamental question as to why. and how someplace else, how another jurisdiction would have functioned differently. To, in some ways, rather than seek to malign the name of the Bahamas, to take a brief moment of empathy and walk in the shoes of the country, and to try to understand, you know, how much different this would be if it was in your jurisdiction. And that's kind of the message we have to formulate, part of the message that we need to formulate. As a country, there needs to be a congealing, if you will, of thinking. We have to get to the place where we start to fully appreciate what is at stake. Because let me put this in real simple terms. The Prime Minister said, and I think it was appropriate for him to say this, we would wish that any leader would make bold statements such as this, that we will emerge from this reasonably okay. Whether that is going to be absolutely true or not, it has to be the intention of the country, regardless of what your philosophical stance is. It don't matter. So at the end of that is the intent. We have to now start to congeal as a country behind the idea that there's certain messaging which needs to be put out. And it's not a case where we're simply sitting back, folding our arms, and waiting for this thing to unfold, unwrap itself, and then we decide, well, okay, yeah, that's happened. We good. No, it absolutely, in my mind, if it unfolds in that way, if we allow it to unwrap itself, to unwind itself without intentional intervention, and by intervention I mean, in this instance, by writing about the Bahamas, by saying where the Bahamas is, by counteracting statements which have been made, I think we'll come out on the other end, on the wrong side. We'll definitely come out at the other end, at least lesser than we could have been if we approach this in a seriously deliberate and intentional way. Because when an individual seeks to tie your financial services to happenings way, way back in the 17th century, it's kind of like, you know, mini war. There's something to be fought for. There's something to be fought for. It represents the connection between the FTX debacle, the thing that we're experiencing now, anything which is going to be said, going to be written, we know, positive for the Bahamas, will be able to, anyone will be able to easily trace it directly to its impact on financial services. And so in that regard, we have to be mindful that we are in a battle and we have to protect those that we are. We have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead.
I'm pressing it in, Ms. Edwards.
Good evening, how are you?
I haven't called you for a long time.
I haven't heard from you a long time.
It's Sparky.
Yeah, I know it's Sparky.
Mr. Edwards, one of the problems I have, and I love listening to you, we've been going through these ups and downs for many years, and we're getting ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to find out, we have these things called political parties, UBPs, PLPs, FNMs, DNAs, whatever it is. And we keep saying that because of the world situation now and what we're going through with the pandemic and Darian the hurricane, and now what we're going through is the economical situation with the world, with the Russia and Ukraine situation. I wonder sometimes, when I listen to all you talk show hosts who apparently went off to all these universities and come back and run these talk shows, I ask, when are our leaders going to really get our leaders together? All of our best accountants, all of our past governor generals.
You're breaking up a bit, Sparky. I can't hear you too well. Could you repeat that?
I say, when our political leaders, our social leaders, our religious leaders, when are they going to get to the point where we say, okay, the Bahamas is in this situation where we really are controlled and governed by all the foreign powers of the world. We are a group of small Caribbean islands sitting in the Atlantic Ocean, but we are dominantly controlled by foreigners. There's no lie to say that is not so. But when are we going to get our leaders together to say, hold on, it doesn't make a difference whether I'm a PLP or F&M in power. But when are we going to get our best accountants, our best economical leaders, economist leaders, and get them all together in some kind of conference room and forget this foolishness? But when I'm a PLP or an F&M, I say, look here, we need to get together to get our country together.
Yeah. I think I'm losing you a bit, but I think I get what you're saying. Thank you so much for your call.
Mr. Edwards, the governor generals of the central bank, Mr. Smith, and all of them who the executive politicians, all the part, we need to get.
So yeah, thank you so much for your call. So to take away a little bit from, I think, the essence of what you're asking, when are we going to get together and work in a direction which is going to be in the best interest of the country? How are we going to channel, and harness all of the expertise and the experience and the exposure that we have for the benefit of the country? Well, if it hasn't been done up to now, and if that's the argument that you're making, and I think it's the argument that you're making, then right now is the time, because that's what. On the back of the pandemic that we just faced, with the country recovering as it has, we certainly do not want, we cannot tolerate, we should not tolerate anything which is going to disrupt that movement back to a level of normalcy, tenuous as it may be. We cannot do that. We cannot allow that. And so if that isn't a moment, a time to come together, I don't know when it is. And I'm not 100% sure if this is the way you were asking it or you were calling for it, Sparky. But right here and now, while there can be disagreements and difference of views, I think ultimately there has to be an overarching concern, an overarching understanding that because if they're coming for your financial services, they're coming for a large part of the economy. And I use that coming for broadly. I'm not saying anyone is definitively targeting, mashing up financial services. The point that I'm making is that things said, things done, things written, things spoken could have that effect. And so we have to be mindful that we, you know, we have to defend against it. We can't stop persons from saying what they will, what they wish. But when they do, and they do so in ways which are significantly harmful, which can be debilitating for us, which can impact our industry. Because one of the things we often forget, we often overlook, you know, we talk about financial services. And however you see that in your mind's eye, oftentimes you don't see a bunch of individuals, human beings, who may be sitting, being concerned about the news they're hearing, and asking themselves the question, are we in the right jurisdiction? You don't see that. And while the fallout may not be large at any point in time, from time to time, the fallout does impact certain businesses. It may be that, well, overall, you know, a small amount of persons may decide, well, you know, because of this, we don't really want to be around the Bahamas. Because often when there's spotlight for any reason, there's certain groupings of clients, certain groupings of customers, which just really get fidgety. And that could impact a small institution up the road, a small bank around the corner. And that could then have an impact on 5, 10, 15 employees, which then have an impact on 50 other family members, which then have an impact on school, which then have an impact on the grocery stores, and so on and so forth. So we have to understand that this isn't simply about debunking something which some individual says, which is wrong. It's not simply that in and of itself we debunking for the sake of debunking. No, we are doing this to protect the interest, the economic interest, the social interest, the national interest of the Bahamas. That's where it turns. That's the reason. That's the motivation. That's what it ought to be. And consequently, if that is the case, then everyone should be on board. Every single soul should be on board. Because I don't matter how you slice it, you may not like the persons in power at this point in time, or you may not like the persons who are out of power. You may not like the person who is talking on the radio at this point. It don't matter at the end of the day when it all boils down to its pure essence. If there is an overall loss, all of us will lose. Where there's an overall gain, all of us gain. The proportion may be different. Some people may get way more than you. Some people may not get any at all, but you are in an environment which is not worst off, and therefore there are possibilities. So when the man writes, according to Robarts, that MIMS goes on to sully the work of financial sector in the Bahamas, sully the work that financial sector has done to improve the country's reputation as a, and suggested that because the country's history, of the country's history, FTX, with all its follies now on earth, was a natural fit for the Bahamas. So a couple of things here. You know, I think sometimes when we write, I'm not trying to be critical, but words are important. So the country has worked hard to enhance its reputation as a financial services jurisdiction, not a tax haven. So words are important sometimes. So even as we express ourselves, we have to be mindful that in that expression, we do not undercut our own intention. And I'm sure that, you know, knowing who this person is, and the newspaper itself, there's no intention of doing that. But we just need to be mindful that words are important. And this is exactly the point that he made here. This is exactly the point. By saying that the Bahamas is yay, and you have this other institution, which is yay, who find camaraderie, who find commonality, who find sameness, and so we are a match made in heaven. So by aligning certain things to FTX, the author is seeking to extrapolate those and saying, yes, well, you know, it makes perfect sense that they would end up here. That, my friend, is a direct impact, a direct attack on financial services. And as Chester Robards rightly put it, sullying the effort which has been made, which has been given, the work which has been done to make services stand out as well-regulated and a highly reputed sector, not just within the region, but across the globe. When he does that, that's what he's doing. That's where he's going. And so we have to be ready, stand ready to protect the financial services industry. This kind of scrutiny is what Prime Minister Philip Davis hoped will not be the scar, well, will not be the scar left on the country when the FTX matter is resolved. Now, I'm not sure about resolve or resolution. You know, at some point in time, we are not going to be talking as much about it. Will it be totally resolved? Yeah, well, some things are going to happen. We don't know what those are. But at the end of the day, it's not simply sitting by and waiting until this thing unfolds. We have to do some deliberate thinking. We have to do some intentional. He goes on to write that Davis said during the address, I kind of address to the House of Assembly about FTX, and he quotes, "The Bahamas will emerge from the proceedings involving FTX with an enhanced reputation as a solid digital asset jurisdiction." It's a point for reflection, because the possibilities are there, but it won't happen by happenstance. It won't happen without intentional intervention. It won't happen without strategic thinking. And part and parcel of that strategic thinking, in the instance where there's pretty much nothing you can do about where you are now, but it includes taking a stance on certain things, like what has been said. And I believe that if we do that, and if we are serious, as I mentioned earlier, about statements like this, that we are going to emerge with an enhanced reputation, that's going to require a lot of work, just by the nature of it. It's not going to happen automatically. And the truth be told, we should work for it, and we should hope to glean from this, to take from this, that potential enhanced reputation. I think there's a hell of a lot of learning that will take place. There's a lot of experience. There's a lot of know-how. There is a lot of insight and exposure which will happen for those who will be close to this, the regulators and so on, such that it might provide us with insight compared to the rest of the world, other jurisdiction, which will enable us to really fashion, not just emerge automatically, but to fashion based on some deliberate moves that enhance capacity, that enhance reputation. Maybe the reputational aspect of it will require some time, but certainly, most definitely, I believe that in the era of competence and experience and know-how, that can be deepened in such a way, leapfrog further than we would have expected in a short while had this not happened. So here is where I kind of come down on this. We are going to pay the price one way or the other for the circumstance. We're definitely going to pay the price. We are paying the price. It's a high price to pay. No matter how you look at it, it's a significant price to pay. Some people are going to look at us with a corner of eyes. Some are going to have some jaundiced view. And some of them are going to do exactly what we are discussing that they should not do and which we should see protect the country from. So there is a price to be paid. If there's a price to be paid, and we are going to pay it whether we do or don't do, then it behooves us to ensure that we glean value from it, that we take value from the process, that when it is all said and done, we would really be, as the Prime Minister said, and I'm going to switch out the word reputation, to say we are leaving this with an enhanced level of competence as a solid digital asset jurisdiction. The reputation will follow. The reputation definitely will follow if we were to move out of this with a highly enhanced level of competency as a result of the experience. It's a bitter pill. But if we take the bitter pill as our medicine, we certainly can turn this around into great value. Let's take ourselves our final break, and when we come back, we will continue to wrap this up and just polish this up. I think the message is the same. There's not much more I can say about this, but you know, I have one or two other things I would like to share. So you listen to The Essentials. Don't move. Come right back.
Next Level Solutions. We assist companies and organizations to understand and strengthen risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to the final segment of the show. We have a couple of minutes to go, so let's continue looking at this particular issue. Let's take a stab at the article itself done by Chester Robar, as he mentioned after highlighting the Prime Minister's statement. He says, however, it seemed like only Davis holds this sentiment. I personally can't say if that is true or not. It could be very well so, for the most part. I certainly take the view that there are values to be gained, so there's at least one other person who believes so, and that would be me. What is more important, though? What is more important is that there should be many other persons. And we shouldn't be looking at this we shouldn't be looking at this naively. We shouldn't be underestimating the impact. We shouldn't be making statements which are going to be difficult to materialize. And in this instance, as I mentioned earlier, it's a bold statement, it's a brave statement. But it's a necessary statement. It's absolutely necessary. I would be flabbergasted, regardless of who may be at the helm at this point in time, who wouldn't have made a similar statement, at least, maybe not necessarily the same words, but words in that direction. What is important is that I believe that more persons, but it has to be believed that many, 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 many persons in the country want this to happen, want this to be a reality. And for sure, for absolute sure, it must be that all the persons, the majority of the persons in the financial services sector, want to see this as a reality. Now, we may not get to that place of having a digital, being a digital asset powerhouse in the same untroubled fashion as we would have envisioned a couple of months ago. It's going to be different. There are going to be adjustments. There are some hurdles to be overcome, but the outcome could be different. The outcome could be more substantial. The outcome could be more fundamental as a result of this having happened. Outside of the Bahamas, Mr. Roba has indicated, outside of the Bahamas, much of the criticism surrounding FTX has the accompaniment of lashes at the Bahamas as a regulator of the digital asset space. It's an interesting statement. It's an important statement. Certainly is, based on my experience and my reading, what has happened. And these things usually happen in times of crisis, in times of stress, in times when you have these debacles. Everybody forgets that they are in the same place as you are. If we compare and contrast, for example, using the might, the power, the resources of the United States with FinCEN, with the Federal Reserve, with any number of huge, significantly large regulatory enterprise, organization, well-funded, significantly funded, with great expertise, tons of people. I think if you take all of the regulators in the United States and add them up, it may be the amount of persons who work there could be larger than or rival in the population of the Bahamas. Maybe a little bit of an overstatement, but it's a lot of people. What is the point I'm making? That even with that being the reality, the United States has not yet come to grips with how it is going to manage the digital space, the cryptocurrency space. It has not. As a matter of fact, there's greater confusion to be observed in the United States than anywhere else. And what you find is that regulators have, by and large, looked at their own constituents. So the Federal Reserve said, well, hey, we don't really know what to do, so we will just tell our banks, if you get into this space, here are the things that we expect you to do. Not fully regulated, but some guidance nonetheless. Most of which, when you read what has been said, when you look at what has happened, and when you look at some of the discussion around legislation which has been proposed, a lot of this would not stop what has happened. Maybe it would happen in a different way, but it wouldn't stop it. It definitely wouldn't. So not only is the Bahamas going to learn from this occurrence and learn a lot, but the world is going to do so also. The question is, you know, what role are we going to play in that? And we have an opportunity to be significant in that regard. So yes, there is criticism. Yes, everyone is going to point to the regulatory regime. That's natural. It's natural. If I give you a dollar to keep and you lose it, I am immediately going to say, well, you just can't keep anything safe. It's a natural response. And until you demonstrate to me the level of safety that you had built around this thing and really how the dollar was lost, I may not appreciate that, yes, it wasn't really just because you didn't do anything, because you didn't have anything. It's because circumstances overtook the safety of the dollar. So we have to be mindful of that. And these two, especially in this era, this is one of the areas where the conversation can get very uncomfortable. But we have to become very comfortable quickly with being uncomfortable in having those conversations, because it's out of these very, very uncomfortable spaces, the areas where the criticisms are most pointed, not the lies, not the talking about we're pirates and all of that, where the criticisms are most pointed, whether we can argue the extent to which the statement is made, but where we can look and rationalize that, hey, yeah, there's some value here to explore this. Those are the spaces from which this value that we talk about, if not reputational value, but certainly value of competence and experience and exposure, is going to emerge. That, those are the spaces from where they are going to emerge. And if we are afraid, if we are timid, if we are scared of having a productive way, in a way which is going to create value, in a way which is going to advance the cause of the country, the industry, if we are afraid to do that, we are going to lose. We're going to end up in a place where, at best, the outcome is going to be suboptimal. And that is something that we ought not to allow. Why we shouldn't allow it? Because the price we pay is significant. That price, we just simply don't know the value yet, but it has been paid already. And because we are not omnipotent, human beings by nature, we have to wait until everything play out to understand exactly what the price is. It's like, you know, we have already bought this thing for $100. And so far, we are kind of tinkering around the $20 level. So when it all unfolds, we will know exactly what that value is. And we have paid it. We will pay it. And so the question is, how are you going to glean value commensurate with the hits you have taken? That's kind of really what it is. And part and parcel of that is not to sit down and play dead and roll over when certain statements are made in our direction. A statement which was made here is that, in retrospect, his arrival confirmed the prescience of a British colonial official writing about the Bahamas in 1961. This particular territory, he complained, attracts all sorts of financial wizards, some of whose activities we can well build the public interest. Well, he made a statement not with good intent. But the fact that financial wizards will turn up on our shores is not a bad thing. We have to simply remind ourselves and commit ourselves to do exactly what that colonial officer said in 1961, that we put in place the machinery, the mechanisms, and the processes of controlling, regulating, protecting the interests of the public. And as long as we do that, and as long as we do that consistently, and as long as we maintain the commitment as a country to live to the high standards of financial services industry, global best practice, as long as we do that, we should be fine. Because in that process, we are mitigating the impact. But we have to demonstrate that. And we have to tell the people, and we have to share the story with the world. And part and parcel of sharing that story is to debunk those which would occupy the space where the good stories ought to be. And so I say to you, let's not roll over. Let's not play dead. Let's understand that this, in many ways, is a fight for the well-being of the Bahamas. We always like to end by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. All that's left to say is be good, It's Christmas time. Be safe. Walk good. COVID is not over, so take care. One love and Ubuntu. Bye-bye.
It's so essential, so serious.